Thanks for downloading this podcast. I'm Kelly Beatty of Sky and Telescope magazine, and tonight we're going on a tour of what's overhead during October evenings. But before telling you about the evening agenda, I'd like to draw your attention to some happenings in the morning sky. Hey, most of you are already getting up before dawn anyway, or you can if you really try. So poke your head out for a few minutes during your early morning routine. Venus is the bright morning star low in the eastern dawn. A couple of months ago, this planet was higher up and quite a spectacle, but now it's past its prime. Day by day this month, you'll see Venus slide a little closer to the horizon in the morning twilight. What's really exciting, however, is its changing arrangements with sibling planets Mercury and Saturn. Mercury is best seen in the first half of October. On the 6th, it appears farthest from the Sun, and therefore its highest before sunrise. Look for it that morning several degrees to the lower left of Venus. And if you continue along that imaginary line a bit further, you should spot dimmer Saturn. After the 6th, Mercury sits lower down during each successive dawn. But Saturn creeps higher, passing impressively close to Mercury on October 8th and then Venus on the 13th. And for a finale, on October 16th, our planet trio is joined by a slender crescent moon. Looks like I'll be getting up early and often this month. The full moon comes early on October 4th. We call this one the harvest moon because it's the full moon closest to the autumnal equinox, which was back on September 22nd. Normally, the moon rises and sets about an hour later each night. But if you watch for moonrise on the days after October 4th, you'll notice that the moon continues to come up while it's still twilight. It has to do with the shallow angle between the moon's orbit and the horizon at this time of year. Traditionally, this seasonal quirk of geometry gives farmers a few extra evenings of bright moonlight to bring in their crops, hence the name Harvest Moon. Evenings during the first half of October will be more or less moon-free. New Moon occurs on the 18th, so let's take a quick look around. Watch where the sun sets and then make a left turn. That'll be south, more or less, and as twilight fades, you'll have no problem spotting the planet Jupiter well above the horizon. The king of planets will reign supreme in the night sky until it sets after midnight. Now, go back to that sunset point and make a turn to your right so that you're facing northwest. There's our old friend, the Big Dipper, not far above the horizon. Its bowl is on the right, and its handle is sticking out toward left. As the evening's starry sky pinwheels through the changing seasons, the Big Dipper does a slow counterclockwise dance around Polaris, the North Star. And where is Polaris, you might ask? Some people think it's the brightest star in the sky, but that's not the case. Still, it's easy to find. Find the two stars on the right side of the Big Dipper's bowl. Now, draw an imaginary line through them, and follow that line upward and to the right until you spot a medium bright star pretty much all by itself. There you go, that's Polaris. Now, clench your fist and hold it out straight. Three fists to the right of Polaris, and a bit higher up, you'll see a group of five stars crudely shaped like a three, or maybe you'll see them as a broad W tipped up on its left corner. The whole pattern is a little bigger than your fist. This is the constellation Cassiopeia, who is a queen in Greek mythology. You'll see that Cassiopeia and the Big Dipper are situated on opposite sides of the North Star. So when one is up, the other is low down. The Dipper dominates the spring and summer, while Cassiopeia rules in fall and winter. Now swing your gaze up, way up, to overhead. You should see three widely spaced stars forming a big triangle that's two or three fifths on a side. This is called the summer triangle, though it's highest up and easiest to spot not during summer itself, but in the months afterward. The corner of the triangle farthest west, in the direction of sunset, is marked by Vega. It's the main star in a tidy constellation called Lyra, the lyre, or harp. Farther east, and closer to Polaris, is the star Deneb. It marks the tail of a giant swan, Cygnus, apparently flying south for the winter along the Milky Way. You should be able to make out the swan's wingtips and long neck. Or try picturing Deneb at the top of a large cross about two fists long. The triangle's third star is Altair, the head of a celestial eagle called Aquila that's winging toward the swan. All right, let's change gears. This could be a particularly good year for the Orionid meteor shower. These shooting stars arrive roughly from October 17th to 25th, peaking around the morning of the 21st. The moon is out of the sky during the best meteor watching hours, which are from midnight to dawn. Note to self, more early risings. The Orionids are bits of debris shed by Halley's comet, and meteor specialists think that this could be a better-than-average year. If you're lucky enough to have dark skies free of light pollution, you might see one zip across the sky every few minutes. At month's end, of course, is Halloween. Go ahead and trot out the pumpkins and fuzzy spiders, then try doing what I do. When trick-or-treaters invade our neighborhood, I set up my telescope on our driveway so that all those little goblins and their parents can take a quick peek through the eyepiece. It's always a big hit, and you really should try it. This Halloween, you'll have two great targets in the sky: Jupiter well up in the southwest, and a nearly full moon in the southeast. Oh, one more thing. Would you like to take part in something called the Great Worldwide Star Count? From October 9th through the 23rd, stargazers just like you and me will be looking skyward to find the faintest stars they can see. The target area for us in the Northern Hemisphere is Cygnus, the Swan. It's a fantastic way to find out how your sky stacks up compared to other places, and frankly, how bad your light pollution really is. To learn more, go to skyandtelescope.com/starcount. In fact, skyandtelescope.com is a great destination for all kinds of sky-watching tips. Next month, we'll take a sky ride on a flying horse. Until then, I wish you clear skies.